Don Levitard.
Half of the lemonade stands are selling spiked lemonade. No, that's a fact. You can look that up.
A little vodka in there, yeah.
Right, a little vodka, Tom Collins. TC on the rocks.
Stugatz.
Greg Cody's move is, that's a fact, look it up. And it's not a fact. You are so many kinds of wrong that this is a fact that can be looked up.
Okay, yes or no. Has any lemonade stand ever sold lemonade?
Go to commercial. This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The Dan Levitard Show is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Proud to serve members of the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Our members are the mission. Learn more today at NavyFederal.org. Greg Cody going to join us for the final hour of the show. Dan will be back tomorrow. We'll get to Fly on the Wall in just a second, and we'll get to Stat of the Day in just a second. But first, we interrupted Christine Lisi.
And finally, you shouldn't feed breadcrumbs to fish, just as you should not feed chocolate to dogs. The bread contains yeast and when eaten will expand in the fish's stomach, leading to constipation or even death. Oh no, is that why Dan's not here? Did he finally eat too much bread?
That laugh. I love the laugh, the trailing laugh as you get further and further away from the mic. Don't stop doing that. That laugh, yes, right there. Mike, before we get to Greg Cody, his thoughts on Tua yesterday and the Dolphins. Quickly, the short version of Stat of the Day.
Stat of the Day, Stat of the Day, it is your Stat of the Day. Stat of the Day, Stat of the Day, it is your Stat of the Day. Stat of the Day, Stat of the Day, it is your Stat of the Day. Stat of the Day, Stat of the Day, it is your Stat of the Day.
Courtesy of Chris Cody, because he didn't put a courtesy on there. Patrick Mahomes had more passing touchdowns yesterday, 5, than the Jets have had the entire season. I hate that. I have another. Adam Gase, as the Jets coach, has more losses by at least 20 points, 8, than he has total wins, 7.
I don't think it's working out for them.
No, it's working out well for them. This is, Mike, this is the year I've been clamoring for forever. They're not just bad. They are actively trying to be bad and go 0-16. And I am telling everyone right now, and I have no information. I am friends with Adam Gase. I will say that on the front end. He's a friend of mine. Whether you like him or not, I don't care. Whether you think he's a good coach or not, I don't care. I think he's a good person, and he's a friend of mine. So the information I'm about to give you, you know, on the front end, I am telling you, we are friends. I am also telling you, he would never discuss this with me, his friend. Adam Gase not getting fired. So, I'm just telling you. He hired the GM, Joe Douglas. I want everyone to understand this, okay? Mike Maccagnan was the GM. Mike Maccagnan hired Adam Gase. Adam Gase came in and got the guy fired who hired him, and then hired his own guy at Joe Douglas. And now Joe Douglas, people think, is going to fire the guy that got him the job as the general manager of the Jets. And I am telling you, this is not going to happen. It's just not. Now, they might both get fired, okay, by Woody Johnson, but Joe Douglas is not going to fire Adam Gase. That I am telling you. Just telling you. Anyway, thank you, Mike. Greg Cody joins us here from the Miami Herald. We get a double dose of Cody. Are you with us tomorrow as well?
I am indeed.
It's very exciting for our audience. Are you excited about it? A little bonus time for you?
Oh, I'm thrilled, man. It's scintillating.
I'm certain it's not.
Greg was kind enough to give us an extra day this week, but there was a caveat. We had to promote his podcast.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, do you want to go ahead and get that? You want to get that?
Well,
out of
that's
the way?
Yeah, that's best left behind the scenes. But since Mike put it out there, I'll shamelessly plug my latest podcast, The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. And by the way, I was listening to the first National Hour and was thrilled to hear you guys play my Tua tribute song, Tua Ticket to Paradise. Thank you very much for that. People can hear it again and again and again in my new podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. Go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you do your potting.
When we booked Greg to do this hour after I agreed to these terms that he demanded, I thought it made all the sense in the world. Dan's out, audience loves Greg Cody, and naturally, there'd be a lot to talk about with Tua's game on Sunday.
Yes.
Turns out maybe the game is a talking point, but I'm not so sure on Tua. So, Greg, what's your takeaway there?
You know what? I saw in Tua exactly what I thought we might see. And I'm sort of amused by the narrative that, we didn't learn anything about Tua. We don't know yet about Tua. What really did we expect to learn in 60 minutes in his first NFL start? Did we expect, you know, Dan Marino meets Patrick Mahomes and all of a sudden we're sending him to Canton this morning? Did we expect, a re-injured hip after four interceptions? No. What we expected is what we saw, which is a really raw, inexperienced quarterback getting through the jitters of his first start. And keep in mind, this is a guy who was robbed of what he needed more than anybody else, which was a full normal preseason, a full preseason schedule, a full offseason schedule. He really needed that, and he didn't get any of that. So what the Tua we saw yesterday was the Tua we might have seen in early August in a meaningless preseason game against Atlanta. I think he's going to be a lot better. I think what we did see in Tua yesterday that was very encouraging was we saw signs of the accuracy that we expect from him, and we saw signs of the mobility that we expect from him. I thought it was an okay start for Tua, and the defense certainly insulated him and made it super easy for him.
Greg, here's what's interesting about yesterday. I think the one question you wanted answered, and you're right, perhaps at one start you were never going to answer it anyways. So, but you wanted to see if you had, or at least think, hey, do we have a quarterback for the next decade? And you didn't find that out yesterday, and you'll find it out in the upcoming weeks. And they have a very good schedule coming up, so he's going to be playing against not only really good young quarterbacks in Kyler Murray and Justin Herbert and other guys. I think they play Joe Burrow. They play the Bengals and Joe Burrow as well. So it's going to be interesting. But what you did learn about the Dolphins is they have the coach that stood next to Bill Belichick that appears to be the guy that learned something from Bill Belichick, because this team's foundation and future is set up very, very nicely.
I totally agree with that. And I think Brian Flores was a good hire who's proving that in just about every decision he makes. The way they've done things, trading away all their talent for draft picks, has really worked out. And, the worse Houston is, obviously, the better the Dolphins are going to be in the draft next year. So they have an opportunity to be really good, really fast if Tua is all that. We already saw signs yesterday that the defense is the most improved defense in the league. And I'm not saying that because they made Jared Goff look awful. They were third in scoring defense coming into yesterday. They've been good all year. And it starts with the secondary. The pass rush has been hugely improved this year. I just think what they're doing is smart. And if you're a Dolphin fan right now, your hopes are, I think, higher than they've been maybe since Marino left.
Were you upset that Schefter scooped you on that report that the Dolphins are starting 2-0? I mean, you're the local reporter for the Herald. You've been down here forever. You cover the Dolphins. No one's better than you except for Schefter. But he scooped you on that report where the Dolphins are starting 2-0 off the bye week, when a lot of people thought they should have stuck with Fitzpatrick. Because, naturally, they want to see what they have in Tua over the next 10 weeks, now 9 weeks, because they have that Texans pick, they have their own pick, and perhaps Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields is someone they might want to go with if Tua's not good.
Right. To make a minor correction, I don't cover the Dolphins full-time. We have two writers who do. Okay. I think that, look, if they're starting Tua merely because Houston is really bad right now, that's either brilliant due diligence or extreme panicking. It's one or the other, because you don't, what are you going to give up on Tua after two career passes? No, I don't believe that at all. I think the last thing they want to do is spend another high draft pick on a quarterback next year. But having said that, nobody expected Houston to be this bad. And I still think Houston is going to play its way out of a really high pick. They're too good to have one of those awful Jets type seasons. They're going to win 5-6 games. But you have to look ahead if you're the Dolphins and touch all your bases, because it's a draft where not just Trevor Lawrence, you're going to have three guys perhaps taken in the first round with Justin Fields of Ohio State and then that kid from North Dakota who's coming out of nowhere. So, yeah, there's going to be the opportunity there to draft another quarterback if you need to do that, but they hope they don't. They have so many other needs, including offensive line, that and running back, that last thing they want to do is spend high on another quarterback.
Nothing in life is free. Time for some ads.
All right, very exciting. We debut a new segment coming up. It's called Fly on the Wall. I don't know if it'll be good. I don't know if it'll be bad. I know this, though. It will annoy Dan. And therefore, that is a reason to do it.
He's not in, though.
Yeah, but he'll find out that we did it, and he'll be annoyed by it. And then we'll try it again next week when he's here, and we'll see how that goes. Okay? How about that? That's what I'm thinking.
Don Lebatard.
Who are the most overzealous fans?
I think Taylor Swift has the most overzealous fans. She had to be pulled off a stage at Madison Square Garden, I believe.
Swifties.
Yeah, Swifties. Yeah.
Stugatz.
Perry Como's got some real fans as well. They're crazy, those people. Como whites, I think they call them.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. If you missed any of the show, this is the conversational part, but Dan's not here. You can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Lebatard Show. Mike would like to have a conversation about this part.
You look great today. Thank you for coming in. Pulling some heavy-duty work today with no Dan. Heavy lifting. We appreciate Greg. I think contractually we have to mention that there's a Greg Cody show featuring Greg Cody podcast. That's not a part of the Lebatard and Friends universe. Tomorrow there's a new South Beach Sessions dropping with some great journalism done by our guests on it. You're going to want to check that out. Had fun with you on the local hour in Big Suey today, Sugats.
Thank you very much. Also, I will point out that I've told you guys before, I love two bands and two bands only. It's weird. Grateful Dead, by a lot, my favorite band of all time, and Pearl Jam. What's weird is I only love two bands. What's weird is one's an alt-rock band, a grunge band, and the other is a classic rock band, I guess, bluegrass, whatever you want to call it.
Bluegrass?
I don't know.
They Grateful Dead? No, that's a jam band.
It's a jam band, whatever. But Stone Gossard, who is the co-creator of Pearl Jam, joined me on Stupidity, and we will air that coming up this week. So I'm very excited about that. Greg Cody on his podcast. We'll have Greg Cody. All right, guys, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We are very, very, very excited. Greg, anything else you want to say about your podcast? Because, listen, Dan's not here, and I will allow you to promote the thing as much as you want. So go ahead, whatever you want.
Yeah, Christopher and I really dive deep into Tua's debut and the Dolphins and all that stuff. But the song I wrote about Tua, I would love people to listen to. And there's some fun stuff. We have a Greg's top 10 list regarding Halloween, which started off being me saying all the wonderful things I love about Halloween, and it turned into pretty much a gripe fest where I'm complaining about everything. So that was sort of fun. Listen to it. We appreciate your support. I know I'm not under the Lebatard and Friends podcast umbrella. I'm not comforted by that stature, but we're a little Miami Herald podcast trying to do big things. So give us a listen.
Time for Fly on a Wall. Oh, wow. We have sound. This is very exciting. All right, we're going to go around the room. We maintain that every single weekend, at least we're maintaining for 1 week, that every single weekend there are several conversations in and out of sports that you would like to be a fly on the wall for, but you can only choose one of the conversations, okay? So I will start here with Fat Chris. It was his idea. It's a great idea, we think. I'll let you know in about 6 minutes or so. Chris, the fly on the wall, the conversation
that probably happened over the weekend that you would have liked to have been a fly on the wall for is what?
Well, I think it's going to take place tonight. It's going to be at Bill Belichick's house when he's watching Tom Brady beat up on the Giants on Monday Night Football. I want to know what he's saying to his girlfriend about whether he made a mistake letting Tom Brady go. I want to be a fly on the wall for that combo.
All right. I think he probably knows that already. Tony, do you have did you see how Cam Newton played yesterday again? I mean, he's terrible.
Will he admit it though? There's a difference. Like, I know that everybody knows he made the wrong decision, but when he's alone with his girlfriend, is he saying to her, you know what? I screwed that one up.
This is a very consistent take from Chris Cody.
It is.
He's hell bent on finding out what Bill Belichick tells his life partner.
Well, because he's never going to say it publicly. So Chris is right. The only way you'll hear that is by being a fly on the wall when he talks to his girlfriend, because that's the only place he's going to say it. Tony, fly on the wall conversation over the weekend.
I wanted to be a fly on the wall when Dabo Swinney found out that Trevor Lawrence was COVID positive, because I feel like a lot of the stuff that he says outward to everybody was not the stuff he was saying inside the building.
Why? What do you feel like he said inside the building? Oh, he's going to play.
I feel like there was a lot of curse words. I feel like there was a lot of things happening. People, you know, throwing stuff. It was just not a nice scene.
All right, that's not a bad one. Roy, your fly on the wall conversation for the weekend is what?
My fly on the wall is going to have to be Matt Nagy talking to Javon Wims about that fight during the Bears-Saints game.
Right, right. What happened there?
Did you not see the video that provided some context?
No.
That the Saints player did a similar chain-snatching motion to him beforehand, and he got him back?
I know, but he clapped him in the face twice.
Yeah, I can't explain. Look, violence is never the answer. I'm just providing the context.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I have a better understanding now, but still, what the hell was he doing? Javon Wims. COVID-19, Mike. We're all in this together. People are losing their minds, I'm telling you. Billy, your fly on the wall conversation from over the weekend?
I think I'd like to be a fly in the wall when someone asked Drew Locke what his dance was celebrating his game-winning touchdown.
That's a good one. That was a great game. Turned into the game of the day, I think. Greg, your fly on the wall conversation from over the weekend was?
Well, Rob Manfred and Justin Turner, the Dodgers guy who celebrated with the team despite testing positive for COVID about an hour earlier and refusing all mandates to stay isolated. This is not anything that's going away. This is still a problem for Rob Manfred. You have some in the media now calling for Justin Turner to be suspended for a year. I would love to hear the commissioner of baseball talking to this idiot and just trying to get, how on earth can you test positive for COVID and just go out there and celebrate without a mask like nothing happened? Unbelievable.
Cool with a name calling.
Yeah. I mean, Justin Turner could probably say, what do you do with letting me go out there and play a game before the results come back? I mean, right? I mean,
well, he was taken out in the middle, late in the game.
Right. I mean, listen, you have no idea how that conversation went. That's why you need to be a fly on the wall. That's what this segment is all about. Mike, your fly on the wall conversation from over the weekend was what?
Also from the World Series, but not with Justin Turner. With the head of the Players Association. There was a lot of time that passed between news word catching Rob Manfred that there was a positive test and then actually pulling Justin Turner from that game. I want to know what all those conversations were like, what they were rooting for. Was there a Go Dodgers that left the mouth of Rob Manfred? Because if the Dodgers didn't hang on in
there
that game,
there had to be, right?
I think we'd still be waiting for Game 7.
Wait, are you saying Game 6 was there a Go Dodger conversation?
I think, what's the plan here? Go Dodgers? Go Dodgers! Yes, that's the plan.
Billy, if you could put that on the poll, please. At any time during Game 6, did Rob Manfred have a conversation with anyone that consisted of these words? Go Dodgers. Very funny. I would like to be a fly on the wall, not just over the weekend, but anytime Lamar Jackson makes a mistake, I want to hear what Bill Polian is saying to somebody. Okay?
It's probably a potted plant at this point. Probably been made mad.
All right, how do we feel about the segment, guys? I imagine it to be sponsored next week, as a matter of fact, by like an exterminating company. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah. It stays. Mm-hmm. It stays.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
All right, it stays. Yes, it stays. I'm excited about that. Good job out of you, Chris. That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Nothing in life is free. Fly time for some ads.
Good. How about that, Chris? You created a segment. Proud of you. We've all heard of Casper. And by the way, speaking of segments, funniest thing for the sports weekend coming up next. We have to play Greg's song one more time before we get out of here. No,
that's not how radios work.
Okay, we can't do that. I'm sorry, Greg. I tried.
Don Lebatard.
Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is in with us today. We were just having a raging argument about who made bald cool. He is alleging that Kojak did, Telly Savalas.
Stugatz.
I mean, I have a list here. Bruce Willis certainly deserves to be on that list.
Well,
Yul Brynner.
No. Wait a minute.
No.
Yul Brynner is actually a good one.
Yul Brynner's
yes.
good.
Yes. Yes. That's a good one.
Man, nobody right. thinks of Yul Brynner as cool.
Oh, yeah. Brynner. The only one. Man ever named Yul, Y-U-L. Not like Yule Log. He doesn't need the E. He's cool with just Y-U-L.
Right.
Yul Brynner.
Good point.
Fantastic.
Yep.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The Monday Night Football Preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. The 5-2 Buccaneers head to MetLife Stadium to play the 1-6 Giants. Tampa Bay coming in hot into a cold night in New York and are expected to win this game by 2 scores. Their defense has given up 291 yards per game, best in the league. They'll match up well versus the Giants offense because everyone does. They are the second worst in the league in yards per game at 282 and points per game at 17. They've also amassed 25 sacks, fourth best in the NFL. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you work so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com today. We'll get the funniest thing from the sports weekend in just a second, but back to Christine Lisi, who we rudely interrupted.
And finally, the effect catnip has on cats is similar to that of marijuana and LSD on humans. How about that?
How about that?
Yikes.
It's got me thinking. Try some catnip. I was thinking about. All right, let's get the funniest thing for the sports weekend, Michael.
Hey, people, tell us what in the sport made you laugh hardest this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend. Ha ha ha!
Funniest thing for the sports weekend is brought to you by Dell. Big news from Dell Technologies. Black Friday is here with deals up to 50% off small business computers with Intel Core processors to give your business an edge. Call 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/SB Black Friday. By the way, Chris, I will let you know, the listeners of this show, they did not like Fly on the Wall. They loved Fly on the Wall. How about that? It was 5 mentions on Twitter, but we'll take it. That's all I need. To be emboldened enough to do it again when Dan's back here next Monday. All right, let's go to Tony on funniest thing for the sports weekend. Tony, what do you have?
I got Jared Goff. He's just the worst. Like, I was watching the game and I was just realizing, oh my God, McVay, if he had an actual good quarterback, how good could the Rams be? And Jared Goff just so horrible.
Goffle. Let's go to Roy. Roy, what do you have? Funniest thing for the sports weekend?
Rutgers had a 8 lateral touchdown on 4th and 32 overturned by the officials.
It's a bad beat. If you had Rutgers, I think that touchdown covers. I'm pretty certain it would have covered the spread for a lot of people.
Yeah, it would have. It would have covered, yeah.
And me included, by the way. It should have counted, right? Just on degree of difficulty alone, that play. Amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Billy, funniest thing for the sports weekend.
Adam Gase has more losses by 20 points, 8, than total wins, 7, as Jets head coach.
Yeah, that was a stat of the day earlier, but it's still funny. It will never not be funny. It'll be funny tomorrow, the next day, and every day thereafter, Bill. I hate that. Chris, funniest thing for the sports weekend.
I got to go with Jim Harbaugh wearing it. This is actually not funny. This is extremely reckless. It looked funny. He had his headset microphone like under his mask. So like it was kind of defeating the whole purpose of the mask. And it kind of looked like almost like a banana ham. It looked funny. and it was ridiculous, but it's also extremely reckless. I just want to throw that caveat in there.
Also funny, his record against Michigan State and Ohio State. Wow. Mike, you just made a face like you had just tasted sour milk. Like, I'm telling you, I said it during Weekend Observations. Of all the things I thought would work out in sports, the thing that hasn't worked out that I thought would work out that has surprised me the most is Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. I thought that was a slam dunk.
100%.
Yes.
He's my favorite coach in the sport. I thought he was awesome. Michigan was going to be all the way back. Just embarrassment after embarrassment.
It really is.
And can we stop doing the thing where we reward them for being 1-0 as if like the next most predictable thing in the world isn't going to happen right away?
It was an impressive 1-0.
We get so excited for Jim. Jim Harbaugh has people rooting for him, not just in Michigan, although maybe now not so much, but in the media. Like, we're willing to put you in the position. We'll inflate your record. We'll do whatever. We'll hype you guys up.
Yes.
We'll send game day out there for your first game. And it just hasn't worked out. Puzzling.
No, it hasn't. Ray, did I go to you yet on funniest thing? I apologize if I...
No. Okay. That's okay. I don't want to pile on the Jets.
Please do.
Actually, I take that back. I do want to pile on the Jets. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed the point spread Sunday. It was 19.5 points. At some books, you could get like 21.5 points. The Jets basically had a 3-touchdown head start on this game. It's a spread you see Saturdays all the time, but rarely on Sundays. And they still didn't come close to covering. You can't give the Jets enough points. It could be a 20, especially against Kansas City. It could have been a 28-point spread, and they wouldn't have covered.
I hate that. Mike, funniest thing from the sports weekend?
The Browns had 6 drives.
We have not. You know what? Because we're so focused on Tua today, we have not made fun of you and your Cleveland Browns. I mean, we just haven't. But you just did it yourself, so that's a good job.
What is there to make fun of outside of them having 6 drives? Hasn't happened in 30 years.
I just want to point out that the Jets lost by 26 yesterday, so they would not have covered a 4-touchdown
score. By the way, the Raiders had a whopping 7 drives. There were 15 total drives in that game that featured 50-mile-per-hour wind gusts in Cleveland.
He had them not covering a 28.
Excuse me.
That's my funniest thing for the sports weekend.
Dan Le Batard.
2,500 12-packs of beer would weigh roughly 24,500 pounds.
So, that's 12 tons of beer.
Stugatz.
So where does Dirk Nowitzki put that?
Right in his belly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Today is for doing, and today we shake our head at Javon Wims during the Saints-Bears game. Chicago's wide receiver and former Georgia Bulldog got into a fight with Saints defensive back and former Florida Gator C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and everyone was wondering why. It turns out in the previous Bears possession before the fight, Gardner-Johnson snatched Wims' mouthpiece. Wims didn't like that and stood on the bench until the next possession, where he tried to snatch Gardner-Johnson's mouthpiece before throwing 2 punches to his helmet. Wims was ejected and will face more discipline later. Today is for doing, and it's brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Greg, I chalk up the Wims situation, Dan Mullen losing his mind. I just think we're all losing our mind. COVID-19, people are losing their mind, and they're starting to take it out, and they're lashing out in every direction. And that's when you have a scenario where the coach of the Gators is at midfield. I don't want to say encouraging a fight, but certainly not preventing a fight. And that's where you have Wims just walking up to a defensive back and punching him in the face 2 times.
Yeah, it's a year unlike any other, and it trickles down to sports. That's for sure. It's been nuts. I mean, in real life, we have supporters of one presidential candidate running off the road, the tour bus of the other candidate. I mean, it's just been it's been insane. America in 2020 has just been just a bleep storm. I almost said it.
Yeah, people are losing their minds. No, I was making the point that just people have been shackled up. We don't know what to do. This college football season is weird. The NFL season is weird. Yeah, Florida Gator coaches who want a full crowd after playing at Texas A&M, and then his entire team, and he gets COVID.
I feel
COVID.
Like I'm just struggling to follow, because you made mention of it in the weekend observation.
Crazy things are happening, Mike, because I think people are starting to lose their minds.
Right, but there was an altercation in the Gators game,
yeah.
And then Dan Mullen did his post-game press conference dresses Darth Vader.
Yeah.
But I think you had Dan Mullen coaching the Bears at one point. I think you just merged the two on-field altercations.
I may have done that. Again, hashtag COVID-19. We're all in this together. I'm probably losing my mind. I woke up this morning, was shocked to see that it was November. Did that happen to anyone? I woke up yesterday and was shocked that it was daylight savings time. I have no idea where we are, what year we're in, what month it is, or what day it is.
I am curious for Greg Cody's perspective here. When you get to be his age and in his health condition, the fact that, I mean, Father Time is giving you an extra hour. You got to count your lucky stars.
You know what? With me, the opposite is true. I get depressed every evening at dusk when it's only 5 o'clock and it's already getting dark out. It's just like, it's come on. What are you doing here? I like it to be light until 8 p.m. so that I have the illusion of longer days. So it's actually the opposite effect on me.
I like it too. Only just strictly from a golf standpoint. I now have to curtail. I have to rethink about how, you know, my tee times, because I used to be able, Greg, I used to go out and play golf at 6 o'clock. I've told you that before. 6 o'clock to me is the best time. Like, the sun is coming down. You still have an hour and a half of sunlight left, and you could probably squeeze 9 holes in at 6 o'clock and no one's on the course. And now you have to do that at like 4:30. I mean, these right. Listen, first class, first world problems. I apologize. I should not be complaining about this at all.
I was going to say, you're being super relatable. Everyone's complaining because their kids are still waking up at the old time, but you're here complaining about your tea time.
Very stressful life I'm leading, Mike. I get around it today. It's beautiful out.
No, you have to be around your family a little bit longer because you have to be on the course a little bit earlier.
How do you guys feel about November 1st Christmas decorations? Because I'm happy with it. I see a lot of people complaining about this on social media. It's like, are you anti-happiness? Like, what's your deal here?
Can I have Thanksgiving first before we get to Christmas?
Right. Exactly.
I'm with you.
Yes. Right. There's somebody in my neighborhood. They're early decorators. They're you know, Halloween stuff was up in like late August, and the day after, the morning after Halloween, the Christmas stuff is up. I mean, yes, take a beat, you know, take a pause, give it a break. I agree with you. Let's do the holidays in order. Let's do Thanksgiving and then think about Christmas decorations.
Sociopaths, people that skip Thanksgiving. I'm not at all for it.
No, that's no. I mean, Christmas decorations are so much more jolly and fun than Thanksgiving decorations. Like, I'm good. You go straight from Halloween to Christmas. I mean, what are you going to put up a turkey sculpture? Like, what are we talking about here?
Greg, I have a question for you. Mike and I were discussing this earlier. Your thoughts, Trevor Lawrence and Clemson are in a win-win situation. They lose, they win. They win, they win. Do you find that to be fair? The excuse is Trevor Lawrence didn't play, so therefore they'll get an exception.
Wow.
This wasn't...